Welcome to The Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Welcome to the Jones Zone. Today's show will be part one of Age with Grace, exploring the science and the art of aging. We'll be exploring the multifaceted world of gerontology, from the latest scientific research on aging to the personal stories of older adults themselves. We believe that aging is a dynamic and diverse experience, and our goal is to provide a platform for engaging conversations and thought-provoking insights about this important topic. Join us as we talk to Ronnie Murdoch. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Ronnie Murdoch is in the studio, a senior living consultant and expert on the field of gerontology. From the challenges of age-related diseases to the joys of intergenerational relationships, we will cover it all. So whether you are a caregiver, an older adult yourself, or simply interested in learning more about the aging process, we invite you to sit back, join us for the journey of discovery and celebration of aging. Welcome to the show, Ronnie. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Daryl. Thanks for having me. I'm a gerontologist, which means I have a master's degree in gerontology, which is the study of aging, like you said. It's a social work degree, more or less, where you focus on helping seniors through different levels of aging and different problems that occur and fun things that occur as we age.
So, Ronnie, what are some of the misconceptions about aging that you like to dispel?
You know, I think one of the misconceptions about aging is that it's easy or that we have no choice. I mean, we do have a lot of ways to slow the aging process down. We do have no choice. And getting old, I always say, is not for sissies because it is very challenging. But we do have a lot of ways to, you know, better age and to age and age with grace, I think.
Now, what are some of the most pressing issues facing the elderly population as a whole today?
You know, a lot. And I think our current aging population, you know, our baby boomers, we're calling it our silver tsunami. It's coming and it's coming fast. So our baby boomers are going to be rapidly increasing our senior population. And that's probably our biggest issue facing the senior industry is that we just have so many seniors coming and not enough systems in place to help those seniors, whether it relates to healthcare, whether it relates to social needs, or even just do we have enough money in our Social Security system to pay for those baby boomers to retire? And do we have enough workforce to replace them? Are seniors going to be working much older and longer, retiring later? And then do we have housing for them? Can they afford housing? Our baby boomers also are our first generation of seniors that aren't going to have pensions. It's a little different. Our greatest generation had a retirement system in place with most companies where they worked for, you know, their whole career and they have a pension. Those are no more. So did our baby boomers save? Are they, you know, ready for retirement, or are they going to be working for well into their aging years? And what does that look like? But our biggest thing coming down the pipe are those boomers and what they're going to do. They're going to revolutionize the aging process for sure.
They're here now. I have an enormous percentage of my homes that are for sale are people who inherited houses from their 80-year-old deceased, you know, grandparent or parent. So part of the cycle of life. How can we provide healthy aging and prevent age-related disease? Do you have any advice for our listeners?
I think, you know, it's just the advice that everybody gives is moderation and having fun and eating healthy. And, you know, we have, when it comes to mobility issues, it's use it or lose it. So if you are sedentary and not exercising, you're going to lose your mobility. And mobility is the greatest loss of independence for seniors. And so the goal for seniors is always to stay as independent as possible. And there's a lot of mental health issues related to around losing independence. And one of the ways to keep yourself independent is to continue to move and continue to keep your brain active, continue to keep your body active.
You were telling me on the break about brain exercises. Maybe you can even tell us about one or two of those kind of things that are kind of off the wall. I know, for example, I had read once something as simple as using your left hand to brush your teeth instead of your right. But go ahead and expand on that.
Yeah. You know, we often see seniors have been told to do Sudoku or crossword puzzles to keep their brains active. And what they now say is that you should do new and novel things to keep your brain active. So if you've been doing crossword puzzles since you were 25 and you're continuing to do crossword puzzles, that's not going to help your brain at all. You know the words that are used on a regular basis in the LA Times crossword puzzle and you're not expanding your brain. So in order to continue to keep your brain healthy and active, you have to create new pathways in your brain and switch things up. They say the easiest and hardest thing to do is switch the side of the bed you sleep on. Just do really odd, different things to switch it up. My husband and I redid our kitchen and we moved where the refrigerator was. And I think for years we were going back to the old place where the refrigerator was, looking for the refrigerator. And so just moving the refrigerator makes your mind create a new pathway, which is healthy. Also, you know, traveling is healthy and, you know, exploring new places that have different languages and navigating that space is novel to the brain. Let's say, you know, you're a doctor and you're reading all these, you know, manuals on health and doctor stuff, right? If you're a doctor and you know all that stuff, that's not helpful. But if you're not a doctor and you start reading those things, that's good for you. If you're a doctor, maybe you should take up piano, you know? And if you're a musician, maybe you should take up engineering or, you know, something different. You want to try something new and novel and keep, obviously, exercise keeps the blood flowing to the brain, too.
I had read somewhere that one of the greatest things one could do, oddly enough, and I found it so surprising, was play ping pong.
Sure.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, the hand-eye coordination, and that takes a lot of mental energy and capacity to manage it. In fact, I worked at Laguna Woods for many years, and one of the largest clubs in the whole community, that's 18,000 seniors that live there in Laguna Woods Village, was the table tennis club. And they would compete internationally with other senior ping pong clubs, and it was a big deal. They had a whole floor of a building dedicated to ping pong.
The author is talking about how it just covers so many different things that maybe just driving a different way home wouldn't cover, because it has your like you had mentioned, your hand-eye coordination along with other things. So how is the social isolation and loneliness affect the elderly population? And what can be done about this and to address this issue?
We've recently had a huge education in that through the pandemic and through the, you know, all the isolation that happened during COVID. We had an illness, obviously, that was killing our senior population and really affecting them. And so they got real scared and they isolated, and families weren't visiting, grandkids weren't visiting, and we had a lot of isolated seniors. And we're still sort of unearthing the effects of that. We do know that depression is large among the senior population for a lot of reasons, and one of those reasons is isolation. When we talk about dementia, which is also probably one of the biggest issues facing our senior population, we talk about reversible and irreversible dementias, and one of the reversible types of dementia is depression. Depression can actually present as dementia and confusion.
Wow.
And as we treat it, you know, with either talk therapy or medications, or even just getting them socialized again, we see the dementia decrease. And so we're hoping that some of the damage isn't permanent from this isolation period of COVID, and that seniors need to get out and be social.
I'm assuming, is there any new medication that's on the horizon that looks to be promising in that?
For dementia?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're always working on stuff. I mean, they're always working on dementia medications. There hasn't been anything super new that's come on the market since Aricept and Namenda came out, you know, decades ago at this point. But we are making a lot of progress in, you know, dementia and understanding dementia and preventing dementia. There was a drug that was very close, and then it had some bad side effects and they stopped, you know, research on it. So they're always progressing. We're also really hopeful. There's a lot of new research with this mRNA vaccine in preventing cancers and maybe also helping with Alzheimer's also. So we have a lot of opportunities on the horizon, and we have a large population of seniors that are ready to help make these treatments better.
You know, what's the difference? I'm sure this is something I know that I wanted to know. What's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
Sure. That is a great question and easily answered. Alzheimer's is just one type of dementia. There are some odd 40, 50 different, even probably more types of dementia. Dementia is a symptom. Dementia is memory loss plus what we call one, which is some other sort of symptom, having trouble speaking, having trouble remembering different things. So it's memory loss plus something else is dementia. And that can be caused by a lot of different things. It can be caused by a brain tumor. It can be caused by Alzheimer's, which is plaques on the brain, sort of like plaque on your teeth, right? That's what Alzheimer's is. Alzheimer's is our most common form of dementia. About 40% of people diagnosed with dementia have Alzheimer's. And so, but we also have vascular dementia, which is caused by many strokes in the brain. We also have Lewy body dementia, which is caused by a protein on the brain. We have just lots and lots of different kinds of dementia. The senior industry is very focused on Alzheimer's because Alzheimer's is the number one type of dementia. But often we have reversible dementias too. We have, like I said, a brain tumor. We remove the brain tumor and there's no more dementia. Many of us in our college days probably had alcohol-induced dementia where you don't remember what happened the night before. That's a form of dementia. You drank too much. There's also a form of long-term alcoholism-related dementia that, you know, your brain has basically been pickled for many years of alcohol use, and that's a type of dementia that can be kind of reversed if we stop drinking. We have depression that can be dementia and can be reversed once treatment is in place. A lot of medications have side effects that cause delirium or dementia when taken together. So we often see seniors that have a lot of medications, polypharmaceutical medications, having medications that are interacting with each other and causing them to have confusion. And so that's why it's important to always get all your prescriptions at the same pharmacy. And when your doctor asks you, when you go to your primary care doctor and they ask you for a list of your medicines, or you go to the cardiologist and they ask you for a list of your medicines, it's because they want to make sure that they're not giving you two medications that when together they cause some kind of side effect. And often it is a delirium or dementia.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I get asked that every time I visit the doctor. So what are some of the effective strategies to manage chronic pain in the elderly population?
That's something that we are always continuing to work on. Chronic pain is an issue that, you know, we all, a lot of, whether you're a senior or not, you face. I actually recently dealt with a terrible situation with a client that had been on, you know, we have the oxy epidemic, right, or pandemic, and we had doctors prescribing a medication that became addictive, and now they're trying to wean people off of it. And the way to wean somebody off of it, maybe methadone or something different, which is also addictive. And doctors are now have a lot of restrictions on prescribing those medications. And so as a senior ages, how do we manage that pain and manage them without having an addiction? Is something that the doctors are struggling with daily, and social workers, et cetera, because we want our seniors to be comfortable, right? We don't want them to be in pain. But on the flip side, we don't want them to be addicted. And we also have seniors like this woman. This client was 90 and she was addicted to pain medicine. And we can't just pull that away because we have to slowly wean them off of that. And she, you know, is having a hard time going to see the doctor as frequently as needed to get that medication. So she, you know, we have all these different problems, and we have a way to manage that in that we do have some community health where we can have doctors visit seniors in their own homes. There's within the Medicare benefit, there is a house call benefit to have doctors. And there are lots of newer sort of doctors, physicians groups that are starting practices where they just see seniors in their homes.
And what about CBD? That seems like it's out there. Yeah. Every place I turn around, CBD for this, CBD for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think at that point, whatever helps, helps, you know, and if you think the CBD helps you or it does help you, then I think, you know, you should, a more natural approach is always good. Sort of my philosophy that when you, you know, get above a certain age, you can pick the age that you think it is for yourself. You know, it's all about the quality of life over the quantity of life. So if pain medicines or CBD or smoking,
or THC.
Yeah, THC or however, you know, you want to create your comfort level works for you, go for it. I mean, within the senior care industry, the licensed regulated industry, we do deal with cannabis use. We're starting to deal with it a lot more, especially as the baby boomers are and the hippies are aging. You know?
Have there been, it's funny. My wife and I went to a Rolling Stones concert last time they were around, and my wife pointed out this lady, and she's probably around 80, but she's a very pretty lady, statuesque, mm-hmm. very beautiful. And she says, "God, look at it. She's so pretty." And then around 20 minutes later, we get this big whiff of marijuana, and I look at her, and we're looking around, and lo and behold, it was that 80-year-old lady that's puffing on this cigar-sized joint. It was cracking me up. But that can't be. We were talking about dementia and Alzheimer's. Have there been any studies that relates marijuana use to Alzheimer's and dementia?
Not that I've seen. No, oh, I don't think so.
There's some good news for all of us.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, it does slow you down a little bit, but we do use, obviously, we use marijuana use to increase appetite and, you know, help seniors stay calm. We use it to help with depression, the CBD oils. And so the medical profession is still kind of coming around to the fact that that sort of natural path may help our seniors or help anybody really. But I think we're going to see this generation of seniors really advocate for that and advocate for more natural approaches. And I mean, if you want a joint rolled well, you have to ask an old hippie, right? I mean, that is just sort of the nature of it, right? But now we have gummies and we have different things. And so regulating those within a senior care community that's licensed is a little bit trickier. And we're trying to figure that out as we go along.
Now,
part of that.
How does that fall in line with any insurances? Are there insurances paying for that yet?
We do have a pill form of medical marijuana that can be covered by insurance, but we have so many dispensaries now that, you know, people are just getting it on their own. It's becoming more like you go out and get your bottle of wine or you go out and get your joint, you know, or your gummies. It's becoming a lot more like that. So it's not as regulated and it's more, you know, used for the senior for almost self-medication purposes.
Now, speaking, you mentioned a glass of wine. Now, what about alcohol and dementia and Alzheimer's?
We have, you know, scientific research that long-term alcoholics do, you know, develop dementia at a higher rate and actually have a specific diagnosis. It's not Alzheimer's. It's a different kind of dementia. It's really aggressive form of dementia. So we do have that. Now, I mean, there's also lots of research that one glass of wine is, you know, good for your health. And there's also a lot of research that lots and lots of research that shows that lack of sleep causes dementia. And so if a glass of wine or a little, you know, cannabis helps you sleep, that may, you know, help.
The
lesser of two evils. You might be getting dementia because you're not a good sleeper. You're an insomniac, you know, but if you have a glass of wine, then you sleep well. So, I mean, again, it's sort of like pick your poison, which is for everything in life.
Yeah, that makes sense. How can caregivers best support and care for their aging loved ones? What advice do you have?
That's a tricky one because I think the best advice is often to take care of yourself as the caregiver and to really understand what you can manage and handle yourself as the caregiver. Because when you are an adult child caring for a senior loved one, a parent, usually when we blur those lines of caregiver and family member, we often create a lot of problems. So taking care of yourself, really managing your expectations about what you can have, but also being really empathetic to the loss of independence. That's the biggest issue that our seniors face is just, you know, we're like, oh my gosh, they shouldn't be driving. That's terrible. Oh my gosh, you know, this is terrifying that they're out on the road. But that's a level of independence you get when you're 16. That's so exciting. You're able to drive and you have this independence from your parents. And when it's taken away by your adult children and those role reversals happen, you know, it's really the very hardest point for a senior. And there's so many other things within that too. You know, can they not do their own grocery shopping? Are they having trouble doing their own cooking to the point where they can't even care for themselves? They need help with showers. And how much of that can an adult child manage empathetically, or should we seek professional caregiver help?
That makes a lot of sense. Is there any technology, or what technology how does technology play a role in supporting a healthy aging? And or what are some of the most promising technologies for the elderly population? I noticed how, for example, the iPad is working with kids that have, is it Down syndrome or autism? Autism, I think it is. Is there anything that's on the horizon for technologies in the senior community?
The biggest trouble we have with technology in the senior community is getting them to accept the technology, right? you know, technology is hard for seniors, but we are seeing some more just almost basic technology things, you know, like shower assistive devices that can help keep them safe in the shower. Or I see a lot more seniors with a Ring camera, you know, a Ring doorbell, so that they can see who's coming to the door and prevent themselves from getting scammed by solicitors or
That's a big problem, huh?
The senior scamming is a big problem. I have a lot of seniors that love those, older seniors that love those digital frames where the family can send pictures, you know, through a digital frame of the kids, the grandkids, or even old pictures, you know, through a frame that they can look at because it's hard for them to see it on their phone.
Is that one of those, you know, like a frame that people have at their houses?
Yes.
And then so somebody from out of the area, a kid from Michigan, can shoot it directly to that picture frame?
Yes.
Oh, that
is
awesome.
It's really great. It's a really great technology to be able to, if, you know, a senior doesn't have Facebook or social media or even a cell phone that can see pictures, or their eyes aren't as good to see it so super small, then they can have it on the larger screen and we can scan older pictures in and put them, you know, in the frame that way also from afar. We're also seeing telehealth really help seniors too. When mobility becomes an issue and transportation becomes an issue now, that's one of the great things that's maybe come from COVID is that we can see our doctors on a screen and, you know, actually have an appointment. Now, again, that's if they can manage the technology and have a computer. And I think we, you know, that's evolving also if we can, you know, do that. We have a lot of families putting cameras into the house so they can kind of track what mom's doing. We also have a lot of senior assistive devices like, you know, that trigger and tell the family when mom's awake. So like, we know we're worried about mom. You can get a coffee maker that tells you, that'll send a text to your phone when mom makes coffee in the morning. So you know she's up, you know she's making coffee.
That is incredible. How does that work? Is it hooked up to the coffee machine?
Yeah, it's machine a Wi-Fi or, sort of system. We also have some systems where if medication management is a trouble, like they can't remember to take their medications, a lot of seniors are on so many medications
alarms.
And need, yeah, alarms on the phones, or there's actually a whole system you can put in the house that will alarm and say, hey, Margaret, it's time to take your meds, like come and get them. And then it'll lock the medication box in between so she can't take too many and it can be pre-filled. So we have a lot of technologies where adult children are going to be able to help support the senior living independently longer.
Wow, that's very promising. That's important stuff. How can we improve? What are your thoughts on how we can improve the healthcare system to better serve our elderly population?
You know, that's
another 3-hour show.
That's another $1 million question, right? You know, and I think it has a lot to do with Medicare and the Medicare benefit and these HMOs, these Medicare Advantage programs, and which ones you're signing up for and what they offer, and should you sign up for one anyway. Also, doctors being empathetic to senior related issues and, you know, different issues as they relate to seniors and seniors feeling open. I mean, we definitely have ageism. We definitely see in our healthcare system that if a senior over the age of 90 comes in, even if they were just playing golf the day before and they come in with a hip fracture, they're written off, you know? And so we have to navigate that and, you know, the ethical issues that our medical profession, you know, have in their head, ingrained in their systems.
Yeah. And do you have any advice for someone who is 50 or 60, obviously approaching those years, it could become difficult? See, when I go off script, what happens?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, aging with grace is obviously the the goal, right? And so if that is the
exercise,
goal, yeah,
diet.
If that's the goal, and some people, their goal is to go out in a flame of glory, right? And so it just depends on where you're at and where your mindset is at. If you want to live to see grandkids, or I have a lot of, you know, my mom's generation who are in their 60s that are trying to stay active and healthy so that they can get on the ground with grandkids and help their adult children, you know, babysit and raise the grandkids. And so I think doing those exercises of getting on and off the ground and being able to be flexible and not get hurt and to continue with muscle mass. I mean, we know seniors decline in their muscle strength. And so doing weight training and different things.
Silver slippers, right?
Yes, the silver sneakers.
Silver sneakers.
Okay. They don't get to wear their slippers to work out. They have to wear their sneakers.
So how does the intersection of the cultures and the aging impact the experiences of elderly people from diverse backgrounds?
Yeah, we have, you know, each culture has a different set of sort of parameters for aging. And we do see in our American culture that it's more common to place our seniors in care settings, whereas in other cultures, it's more common to take care of their loved one at home. And we often see a lot of conflict in families where their culture is to take care of their loved one at home, but now they're living in this American society where they need to work full time. And how can they balance taking care of their loved one at home and making enough money to live this American lifestyle and kind of fit in that way too? So we often see, you know, conflict as it relates to that. Do we take care of our loved ones at home, or do we take care of them elsewhere? And, you know, and aging affects everybody a little differently and affects every family a little bit differently. We also see a lot more intergenerational living happening, a lot more granny flats being built, ADUs being built, you know, for seniors to live in. And we see a lot more, you know, grandparents taking care of grandkids to help their adult children that, you know, have to work. And so we have a lot more intergenerational things starting to happen too. We're even seeing in some assisted living communities, them create daycare communities within, so we can get caregivers that can come to work and bring their kids so that the kids have a place to be in the daycare, which is also good for the senior to have that intergenerational interaction. And so we're trying to get creative. There's also a lot of co-ops. Some, you know, Northern California, we're having some like seniors taking care of seniors, younger seniors taking care of older seniors, so that then in return you sort of pay your time into this co-op, and then when you become the older senior, the younger senior takes care of you.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of different sort of creative methods coming up.
And so can you address the issue that you talked a little bit about ageism in our society and what role can the elderly population play in this effort themselves? Do you have any advice on that?
Ageism in our workforce is, you know, definitely there. If you're trying to find a job when, you know, you're in your 50s or 60s, it's harder than when you're younger. You have to pay them. They want to make more money, right? Because they have more experience, but also they have a shorter timeline of work. But I think also what we're finding is seniors are not retiring at 65 anymore. They're working well into their 70s and still active. And I mean, look at our presidential candidates. They're all in their 70s, late 70s. You know, if a president can do that, so can anybody work their job until they're almost 80 also. So I think, you know, our culture is shifting mostly because we have to, because, you know, not only do these baby boomers want to continue to work, they need to continue to work. And we as a society need them to continue to work because we don't have the workforce to back them up, to, you know, backfill their positions. And so it's always a balancing act between also the senior continuing to keep up with the technology and continuing to be a vital part of the workforce, and also, you know, being a wealth of wisdom to our younger generation.
So, Ronnie, what are some of the most exciting developments in gerontology research today, and how do you see these advancements impacting the future of aging?
You know, we have so many medical advancements happening, you know, every single day. And I think, you know, the reason that we have such a longer longevity and the reason we even have problems with dementia, and dementia being our largest, you know, our largest disease that we have to take care of in the senior care industry, is because we've done so much progress in taking care of heart disease. We don't have people dying of heart attacks as young as often and as young as we used to. And that's why they're aging to have these older adult diseases. And so we, you know, we are seeing technology advance. We're seeing care advance. We're seeing technology advance. And it's happening at a rapid pace because of capitalism, to be honest with you. We have this senior silver tsunami coming, or it's here, and it's only going to grow over the next 15 years. And so we have businesses seeing that they need to cater to the senior market, you know.
So for young people out there, this is what a career path this could be. Talk about a solid career path, right?
Yes, it is a solid career path. Yeah, my graduating class as a gerontologist at Cal State Fullerton with a master's degree was only 6 people. And that was almost a decade ago. And now the program is huge and they have an undergraduate degree program, too. So it is definitely a growing industry. And we're seeing assisted livings, new ones pop up on every corner. Boarding cares pop up in every neighborhood more often. There's definitely a need, as well as these assistive devices, you know, for seniors. They, you know, we now have Go-Go Granny, which is like the senior version of Uber. We have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have a lot of different sort of businesses developing around this senior industry because we can, because there is a market for it. And so that's probably the most exciting thing happening in the gerontology study right now, is just the creativity around taking care of seniors, the advances in medical technology, the advances in technology for ease of life for seniors. And, you know, the activities and socialization around that, too. We have the emeritus programs at all of the colleges where seniors can go and take college courses and interact with the college kids. And so there's just a lot of exciting things happening because we have this population that we need to take care of. We need to market to. We want to sell things to. We want to take care of. And so we're seeing these advances happen just because it's capitalism, because we're seeing the need in the market for it.
And I'm sorry I didn't ask you this before. You may not have the answer, but you know, what is the percentage of Americans that are over 70?
I don't know the percentage, but I do know when we're at the height of the baby boomers aging, it's going to be nearly 40% of our population will be over the age of 65.
40%.
So almost half, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible numbers. Well, that's been incredibly, you've been very, very helpful, very informative. Well, that's all for part one of this Age with Grace episode. We hope that you enjoyed our conversation and gained some new insights into the world of gerontology. Remember, aging is not a one-size-fits-all experience, and we should approach it with curiosity, compassion, and respect. If you haven't already checked out our episode on senior assisted living with Ronnie, be sure to add that to your playlist. So one last question, Ronnie, how can listeners connect or find you?
Yeah, good question. I think the best way to find me is just to give me a call or send me a text. So you can call my cell phone number at 714-458-7300. If you have a senior related issue that you want to just talk through, hash out, give me a call anytime. I'm often just there to help the community navigate through the different puzzle pieces of the senior care industry.
Well, that's fantastic. Stay tuned for our part two, exploring the science and art of aging. We will take a closer look at Medicare, what it is and isn't, how it can benefit you. We'll also be discussing end-of-life care, your rights, options around these very controversial topics. Thank you, friends, for tuning in. And until next week, stay curious, embrace the journey of aging.
Thanks for tuning in to The Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show. Leave a review and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.